a story my dad used to always tell me. He used to always kind of tap me and say, hey, you know, when driving in the car, he used to say, Russ, you know, why not you? You know, why can't you be a world champion or whatever you want to be? And so I kind of told the guys, you know, why not us?
Super Bowl winning Seattle quarterback Russell Wilson standing on the top of the mountain talking about the road from Pee Wee Football League's high school to the Super Bowl. It's a long, hard road, and that road mostly passes through college. The BCS, the collegiate equivalent to the Super Bowl, averaged 27.3 million viewers this year, and colleges, the networks, all made money hand over fist from that game. The athletes did not make so much money. Last week, though, some college players made a sound to rival Bruno Mars' blistering drum solo at halftime last night. Northwestern University quarterback Kane Coulter, with some powerful backers, including the United Steelworkers Union, teamed up to demand a union for college players. Joe Nocera is a columnist for our partner, the New York Times, and a regular contributor to WNYC's business and economics podcast, Money Talking.
The players in college always basically been on their own. They really don't have anybody looking out for them, protecting them, and even the schools, if they get in any kind of trouble with the NCAA, they get cut adrift. And so basically, this is kind of an old-fashioned exercise in consciousness raising that took place at Northwestern. The quarterback who's leading the charge here took a class about unions and came back and said, you know, we need one of those.
That's great. Now, the interesting twist here is that NCAA Division I athletes are supposed to not be paid. So in a sense, they're asking for union representation to deal with the fact that they're not paid, perform a service for the university, and need some form of compensation, or the places where they are compensated, that needs to be recognized in a different way.
Here's what makes it a little tricky. In order to form a union, you have to already be an employee,
right,
and you have to already have an employer. So what the players are arguing in this particular case is that they are getting a salary in the form of a scholarship. They're saying that is a form of pay, and therefore, because their athletics takes precedence over everything else, that is their job.
So on this issue of whether student-athletes are students or employees, the NCAA issued a statement saying that the union-backed attempt to turn student-athletes into employees undermines the purpose of college and education. But the individual who's involved in sort of the counter argument, the College Athletes Players Association, okay, Ramogi Huma, says that if college athletes are primarily students, he says, then they should not devote 40 hours each week to training, traveling, and practicing when their graduation rates are only 50%. Now, that argues that they're not students, that they're actually employees.
It's hard to see how they can be considered students first. Athletics takes precedence over everything. It takes precedence over which classes you can take, when you can take them, quote-unquote voluntary workouts that really aren't all that voluntary. They're working out all year long. And, you know, they're raising literally millions of dollars for their university by going out there and playing. And let me say one other thing. Ramogi is not really arguing right now for salaries. He's arguing for a place at the table so that they can fight for better medical coverage or, you know, an extended scholarship for players whose eligibility has run out and still need to get their degree. They got a whole host of things like that. Now, what happens inevitably if you put somebody at the table and they're arguing about medical, the next thing they're going to be arguing about is, well, we need some cash. And I think what the NCAA fears more than anything is having somebody who can represent the players. And by the way, we're not talking about millions of dollars anymore in this sport. We're talking about billions of dollars. If you take basketball and football together in the college game, it ranks number 2 in total revenues behind the NFL. This is not small stuff. Mm. There's so much money floating around that, you know, you have these ridiculous situations like the University of Oregon's locker room facility, which is, you know, looks like it could be in an Aman hotel somewhere. And you have coaches making $5 and $6 million. And the reason is because, as they say in economics, it's rent-seeking behavior. The money has to go somewhere. Why shouldn't at least some of it go to the players?
Joe Nocera is a columnist for our partner, the New York Times. You can also hear Joe Nocera every week on the WNYC Business and Economics podcast, Money Talking. So here's that union argument from the perspective of an actual student, Kane Coulter at Northwestern University.
Student-athletes don't have a voice. They don't have a seat at the table. The current model resembles a dictatorship where the NCAA places these rules and regulations on these students without their input or without the negotiation.
That's the quarterback at Northwestern speaking. Let's get another athlete voice in here. Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, former linebacker at the University of Rhode Island, an NCAA scholar athlete, friend of the program. Ibrahim, welcome.
It's good to be back.
So I don't want to know your opinion on this yet, okay? I don't want to know what you believe, but I want you to take yourself back to Rhode Island when you were an NCAA scholarship player, right?
Correct.
Right. And if somebody came to you and said, we got to have a union here, what would the wheels have been doing in your brain as you tried to figure out whether this was a good idea or, you know, putting an axe in your head?
I think the first thing that would have concerned me was how would this decision affect the coach's perception of the players, and would there be a division between union and non-union players that would affect the chemistry in the locker room?
So really, a student-athlete considering this, even though it might sound like a great idea on paper, it has really got some sort of gut check kinds of decisions to make, right?
There's already natural, cultural, economic, class divisions that exist. To add this into the mix, I think it creates a point of tension where you could even say that some of the players, this would affect even recruitment. So you could imagine a young person, 17 years old, a coach comes to visit them. They're talking about these things. The coach might float out the question, what do you feel about the unions? Or what do you feel about this idea? And the player may or may not even get a scholarship based on their answer.
I mean, who knows if those considerations are even legitimate, if the NCAA would make rules about that sort of thing. But right now, it is a complete sort of blank canvas, and there's all kinds of reasons to fear, right?
I personally, do you want to know my opinion?
Not yet. What do you think about this idea of dictatorship that Kane Coulter just talked about? Did you feel like it was a dictatorship under your coach? Did you love him? Did you not love him?
The NCAA gives you strict rules around working and around your ability to provide for yourself outside of football, or whatever sport you play. So if you are a scholarship athlete and you come to the school, you are at their mercy for food, for clothing, for shelter. You literally have no other resource. If you have none at home, then you have no other resource to avail yourself of.
So you can't go work.
Precisely.
You can't go get a job.
You can't do almost anything other than what they sort of prescribe for you within their framework.
So even if you're like a genius microbiologist and some graduate professor says, well, I'd love you to come work in my lab.
You could do it, but you couldn't get paid.
All right. Final question before we hear your view on this. Did you feel like an employee ever when you were at the University of Rhode Island, an unpaid employee?
The language – I wouldn't say unpaid. The language that coaches and players use when they're going out to practice is going to go to work, got to get to work. That's the language that you use in the sort of vernacular that exists on the field and got to go to work – watching film, got to go to work reading your playbook, got to go to work on the field for practice. That's the vibe that you're existing within already.
All right. What do you think? Should there be a union for college players?
I think the way that they framed it, the National College Players Association has framed it around the medical expenses of players after they play. Most scholarship athletes in any sport do not go pro. The NCAA has a whole ad campaign related to this.
Right.
To go pro in something other than sports. They're still going to deal with the effects, particularly in football, of concussions and other things. If that is one of the outcomes of this, then 100% I think it's a great idea.
So for you, the medical benefits make sense.
It's a huge deal, yeah.
The pay doesn't make sense?
I think if they find a way – listen, some of these big conferences, SEC, ACC, even the A-10 that I was a part of, they offer grants for scholarship athletes to tap into. They already have pools of money that students are pulling from. Students, if they're smart, they'll fill in the applications and get some of this extra money already. That exists out there. If there's more available for them, I think it's a great idea.
All right, but then what you're saying is that there's already enough money out there to be able to say, hey, they are basically getting paid right now.
they are basically getting paid because, you know, I went to, when I was in school, it was like a $20,000 was what the school cost. That to me, my bill said 000 as a scholarship athlete. That's a big deal. You are playing and you're getting money, but you're getting it directly into the school. So it's not like you're playing for free. It's not like you're just right. volunteering. No, you're getting something out of it.
Are there some players who aren't scholarship, who basically have no voice, no option, nothing, and they're taking a lot of punishment?
A lot of the walk-ons, you take that risk. You walk on to a major college. Sometimes they end up playing, and they get playing time. Sometimes they'll walk on and with the agreement that if they get some playing time, they'll get some partial scholarships. But a lot of guys walk on the schools, and they don't have any of those protections.
Should they have those protections?
If they are playing and they're on the field— according to what this framework of this union that could potentially start, I think it would make sense that if they get out there and they risk themselves, then they should get some protection.
All right. We've talked about pay. We've talked about the medical benefits. Sounds like you very strongly support the medical benefits. Did your college career impede your ability to perform at school to the point where it made you maybe less attractive as a candidate in the professional world?
I once had a not so good grade in a class, and I was going to go to a special study session. I went to my coaches and I said, "Coach, I need to miss practice to go to the study session." They said, "If you miss this practice, you're not going to play in the game."
Wow.
And I had to make a decision that game, and I did not play in that game because I went to that study session. I ended up getting a B+ or whatever in that class because I went to that study session and got the extra help that I needed. All the other players on the team said, "Listen, you're here to play sports, not to go to school." And there was one kid, his name is Christian DeSimone, he actually died on 9/11. He said, go to the study session. And I went to the study session because that's what I wanted to do. And I felt I was there to be a scholar athlete first.
Final principle, should there be a seat at the table for the student athletes in this union thing?
If nothing else, then to educate them on their rights as workers and citizens, it should be seen as an educational point as opposed to some contentious fight. But the young athletes should be able to sit there at the table to understand the workings of the system that they're a part of.
And possibly be represented by a union or some other organization. Precisely. Ibrahim, thanks so much.
It was great to be here.
Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, former linebacker at the University of Rhode Island and NCAA scholar athlete, old friend of The Takeaway, we should add. A lot of you had other plans last night at the Super Bowl. We loved your stories that you shared. Joseph made the point that I watched Downton Abbey and Sherlock. After all, why would I want to watch grown men becoming traumatic brain injury cases live in HD? A very upbeat thought there, Joseph, but I'm glad you had an entertaining evening. You know how to reach us, 877-8-MY-TAKE.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.